We can say all we want about how things are going nuts around us, and it truly is, but what are we doing about it? What kind of a difference are we making? And I'm not going to tell you what that should look like for you, because the difference you make is going to be different for each person, more than likely. But the bottom line is this. If we as Christians want to make a difference in our world, we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to grow as close to the Lord as we possibly can. And that probably narrows it down to what's on my heart the most these days. Christians in general are not growing. They're stagnant. They are comfortable with where they're at, and they don't want to put the extra effort in to grow close to God. And I'll let you decide if that's you, if I just talked about you. I'm not meaning to point fingers in any way, because I know how much work I need in my own life. But I will say this, I'm greatly concerned. Now, this might seem to be a little bit of an odd approach to get to the main point and portion of the message today, but I feel like I needed to share my heart. My heart's cry is that each one of us personally search our hearts and find out if there's growth needed. And you know what? I can guarantee you that if you search your heart and ask the Lord to show you areas that you need to grow in, you'll find out that you need to grow. We should all be growing, all be maturing, getting closer to God. And that's what concerns me. Many, many people aren't doing that. So I'd like to look at our passage today. And this passage, maybe a little bit of a different look at this passage, but it really does show us how to grow as Christians. And when you got there, you probably immediately recognized it as a very, very famous, popular, it's used a lot. John 15, 1 to 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There are seven steps I want to point out to you today that show us about Christian growth and things we can learn about Christian growth as an analogy of the vine that Jesus so wisely gave us. It's a really neat picture, object lesson. And first, we need to be connected to the source. You know what is absolutely amazing? People say that, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they want to make a difference, but they were never connected to the source. And this may be elementary, but ask yourself, do I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I am a Christian? Do you know when you ask Jesus to make a change in your life? Glance at verse 1. Jesus says, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. But then if you jump down to verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And that key phrase, for without me you can do nothing. That's self-explanatory. So many people today are trying to do it on their own. That's the human way. We can do it. We don't need anybody's help. They want to make a big splash and make a big impact, but they aren't connected to the source. And I honestly don't know if this applies to any of you or if it applies to anybody that might be watching. But make sure you're connected to the source. You can't do it alone. There's absolutely no reason at all to move on with this study. Nothing. It's not going to get us anywhere if we're not connected to the source, connected to the true vine. Has Jesus made that change in your life? Then let's talk about care. Verse 1 tells us that our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. Depending what Bible version you're using, yours might say husbandman, gardener, vine grower. Each of these terms means caregiver, landscaper, really. We'll talk about pruning in a moment because that is a part of care, but on a different level. The care that's being talked about here is this watering, the fertilizing, the mulching, and any other form of care that would involve taking care of a plant, keeping it vibrant and healthy. Until plants are mature, at least a year or so, they're going to have a hard time surviving on their own without any care. In rare cases, they might, if it's an extremely tough plant or a weed. Weeds don't seem to need any help. But most times, if they aren't cared for, they will die. And a case in point, if any of you have noticed, it drives me crazy every time I see it. The two solar farms that they have set up in Mercersburg and outside of there at Upton, they go to all the trouble to plant arborvitaes all the way around the perimeter fence. Stick them in the ground, and they're supposed to be fine. And I just about guarantee you that they've done nothing but take that plant that's wrapped in burlap in a wire cage and just stick it in the hole in the ground, and the hole's probably not even that deep. They just put it in there, and that's going to be okay. But they're all dying twice now. They replanted a bunch, and they're dying again. Why? Because no one's caring for them. Oh, because I was in that line of work, that bothers me so bad. It's like, what a waste, because I know how much they cost. Well, every Christian, especially new Christians, need care. We will not make it unless we submit to our Father's care over us. And He's provided care in several ways. And here again, this might sound elementary, but we need to hear it. And I wonder sometimes if we miss the point of things because, oh, it's just too simple. He has provided His Word for us to study and obey. It provides all the nourishment we need to grow as a Christian and survive. It's right there. It's in His book. Are you studying it? Are you using it? You know what I have found? Even people who call themselves Christians and have been Christians for years, some will say they simply don't have time to read the Bible. And I just heard about that the other day from someone. Totally shocked me. You can't make it as a Christian if you're not reading His Word. God has provided a direct line of communication to Himself in the form of prayer. You can talk to God. Do you realize how crazy that sounds? We can talk to God. Are we doing that? How can you grow closer to God if you're not talking to Him? He's also established this beautiful thing called the church. He cares for us through other believers in the church. Are we taking advantage of that? I'm greatly concerned about this subject because as years progress, it is becoming that church is more of a commodity than a necessity. It's the thing to do if we have nothing else better to do. Support it. Use it. It'll help you grow. I could go on and on about this because it is so important in our lives. Then there's this necessary form of care that isn't pleasant at times, and that is pruning. Look at verse 2 again. It says, every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And the first part of this verse, it's especially somber. If a vine dresser sees that a branch is doing nothing, he'll cut it off. I've done that many times with different plants and trees that I've pruned and trimmed over the years. If a branch is showing no signs of life, obviously, you just cut it off because it's ugly. Or it could be causing harm to the tree by growing in a weird way or hanging too low or whatever, and you cut it off. It's a very sobering topic when it comes to Christianity, but it must be talked about. Ask yourself, am I producing any fruit as a Christian? In other words, are there signs that Jesus has made a difference in my life? Can others tell by my testimony that I'm a Christian? We as Christians are to benefit the rest of the vine, the other branches in the vine, or the church. If we're doing nothing, or even going as far as to create a hindrance to the other ones in that vine, in our church, then we can no longer be a vibrant and healthy part of the vine. Some would say, how could a loving God cut somebody off, remove them? How could he remove them from fellowship with him? My simple answer, he doesn't. We do. He gives us every opportunity to stay close to him. This is how I see it, and it's just an imagination thing. I'm not saying it's biblical or anything like that, but this is how I see it based on God's love and compassion for us. I don't see him standing close with a pair of trimming shears, just waiting for a chance to cut us off the slightest mistake. Rather, I see him begging and coaxing and trying to encourage every ounce of life he can out of us. And it's only until we are so barren and dry and that we're almost literally fall away on our own that he lets us go. And I'm not saying that's literally the picture, but that's how I see it in my mind when compared to a vine. Our Father is so full of compassion that he wants us to join with him, but allowing us to fall away if we choose to do so. And I don't want to be a part of that group at all. I'd rather be part of the second part of the verse that says Jesus prunes those vines that produce fruit. If anyone has ever worked with fruit trees or grapevines, you'll know that too many branches, too many leaves stunt fruit development, and some of those branches need trim back to give more sunlight into the plant to reach those areas that grow the fruit. That will create a wound on the plant that needs to heal, but the result is beneficial for that plant. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. Everybody, everyone needs growth in their life. We should always be asking Jesus to work on us, prune us all throughout our lives. It's called being human. Ask Jesus to show you things in your life that are holding you back from being the most fruitful Christian you could possibly be. Then ask him to remove that thing that's holding you back. And yeah, that could and most likely will be painful. And it will likely leave a wound that needs to be healed. But in the end, you'll be a more fruitful Christian. And I'm reminded of the song that says, "Heal the wound, but leave the scar," as a reminder of how merciful you are. Yeah, I'd much rather some pruning. See, that ensures that I won't fall away. I don't want to be removed or fall away from the true vine. Then let's talk about partnership. In the business world, corporations need consumers to partner with them or there won't be any progress made. The company may produce a product, but they need someone to buy it. I don't know how many of you have gone down to the Hagerstown outlets recently. Honestly, I don't think I've been there for several years. Probably since COVID, honestly. There was a little store there I wanted to check out just for curiosity's sake. It was a secondhand store, and it's interesting how many stores are popping up in there because there's not enough support for the brick and mortar stores. It's all online now. Anyhow, I wanted to check this store out. In the meantime, we just wandered around for an hour or so and was surprised at how many empty stores there were. About half of the stores down there are empty because they don't have the partnership to keep them going. They're online now. But this society we live in depends on partnerships to keep running. Look at verse 4 again. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Do you ever think about this? God cannot produce this fruit in himself. He does this in human beings. And he needs us to display the difference that he makes. Have you ever thought about it this way? This is something God needs from us. He needs our partnership. If we don't abide in him and allow him to abide in us, then the fruit that he does so desperately wants to display can't be shown. It can't happen. And I think it's so neat to realize that God needs me. He needs a willing heart, a heart that's willing to be used by God to show the world what a difference God can make. I don't know if you've ever thought about this in this way, that my relationship with God is a partnership in this manner. It's pretty incredible, I think. Ask yourself, am I partnering with God? But then Jesus makes a promise in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Many people look at verses like this one, and they think that if a person is a Christian, they can ask God for whatever they want, and God will just give it to them. And there's other verses like this. And something I've been stressing more recently is context. Don't just take one verse and run with it. There are many scriptures that if you just take them by themselves, just one single verse, it could be pretty crazy. People have done that too. They've taken one verse, totally out of context, act on it, and the results can be pretty dangerous, especially dangerous spiritually. That's why it's so important to take the surrounding verses and find out what the general theme of that passage really is. So in this particular passage, Jesus is telling us how to abide in him. He's telling us that we need to allow him to make the changes in our lives if we want to stay connected to him. And then we have this verse. And it's the key phrase to notice in the first part of this verse is, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If a person is truly living this out, abiding in Christ, and then allowing the words from Scripture that he has given us to permeate their life, then the desires of our hearts will be pure. But if we're not abiding in him properly and aren't meditating on his words, then our desires will be selfish. But if we truly want to do what God wants us to do, our prayers will reflect that. So then the last part of this verse will be true. We can ask the Lord to fulfill the desires of our hearts, because our desires should be to please God. And our prayers will follow that pattern. Lord, help me to please you and abide in you. And you know what? God will give us the desires of our heart, because our heart desires are pure. Jesus then tells us the purpose. When I did landscaping, you know what brought me the most satisfaction from a job? Not getting the paycheck. That helped, but that wasn't what gave me the most satisfaction. What gave me the most satisfaction was the person saying how wonderful the job looked and how awesome a job you did. Do you know that God created us to bring him glory? Read verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is most pleased when his creation is doing what they were created to do, bear fruit. Now ask yourself the question, am I bearing fruit? Am I glorifying God with my life? What kind of fruit are we to be bearing? Of course, that could be a message all in itself, but basically the fruit we should be bearing are the attitudes and actions, the testimonies that point others to Christ. We should be displaying a spirit that shows that Jesus has made a difference in our lives, and it should be attractive to others. That's what brings glory to God. Oh, you might not be a demonstrative person that just gets out there and speaks to everyone and gives a, yeah, I'm here, and gives this powerful testimony, but your testimony, your actions, your attitudes should be a symbol, should be a testimony itself that God has made a difference in your life. That's the fruit that Jesus wants us to display. Then our last instruction is, obedience. This whole story of redemption and grace is built on love. God's love that saw fit to send his Son, the love of Jesus to sacrifice his life for us, and then the love of the Spirit to abide with us. So John tells us in verse 9, as the Father loved me, Jesus tells us in verse 9, yeah, John did too. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So we obviously want to abide in and continue to enjoy this gift of love, but how do we do this? Jesus answers the question in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Continuing to reap the benefits of this incredible love that Jesus has for us is completely possible by simple obedience. And unfortunately, this obedience, this thing called obedience, seems to be awfully complicated for some. Our human nature and our selfish ways sometimes get in the way, and we stray from that full obedience that we know we should be doing. I'm honestly not sure what else to say here, but it's weighing on my heart, and I'm not sure how to put it except just to ask the question, are we obeying Jesus like we know we should be obeying him? And I'm not saying that just because it's a nice way to end a message, but rather a very, very serious question. I have seen so many today that are not walking in obedience like they should be. I'm not the judge, so I need to let that with God. But yet they want to enjoy abiding in the Father's love, but they're not willing to obey. It just doesn't work that way. I don't want to miss out on this life that Jesus has for me. For sure, I don't want to miss out on eternal life in heaven. I don't even think that should be a question. We don't want to miss heaven. I just want to encourage you, do all you can in obedience so that you can abide in his love. As I was concluding this studying and I was just wrapping it up, I suddenly had this mental picture of a gardener bending over a plant, taking care of this plant. And it's our Father. He's gently and carefully tending to the vine that he has provided through us. That's his Son. And he's carefully making sure there's nothing in the way, any of the branches that would hinder the ones bearing fruit to receive and achieve that full potential that he has planned for us. Are we allowing him to do that job in our lives? Are we abiding in him and allowing him to make the changes? It might hurt for a little bit, but in the end will produce the best fruits that we can possibly produce as a Christian. Bearing fruit is our responsibility as Christians. Are we fulfilling that responsibility? And that brings me in a full circle back to my original statement in the beginning. It is only when we get our own lives straightened out that we can help others. Because we can get so worried and so bent out of shape over how things are going. But yet until our own lives are where they need to be, we're not going to be in the place to help others. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and the beautiful analogy you gave us with the vine. I pray that you help us to live it and help us to allow you to work on us like a gardener takes care of a vine. Would you help us to obey you and do what you want us to do and make a difference in this world, because we know we're living in a messed up society. Guide us and direct us and go with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.